Well, good morning, everyone. I'm glad you're here. And to our audience that are listening, we're just getting started this morning. Oh, boy. Well, you know, with Thanksgiving coming upon us, I thought it may be needful to talk about Thanksgiving. It's interesting to note that the word Thanksgiving, in and of itself, Thanksgiving, appears in Paul's writings 7 times. Now, those that do numbers and count numbers and add numbers and affix things to numbers in your Bible also draw the conclusion that the number 7 has to do with perfection. So it is ironic that Thanksgiving appears 7 times in Paul's writings. Now, the word Thanksgiving literally means gratitude, a grateful language to God, the giving of thanks. So it's pretty elementary as to the meaning of Thanksgiving. With that said, I want to go to one of the Thanksgiving words that Paul writes about in Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, we're going to go through this. I hope not to make it so fast and so short that we don't do it justice. Colossians chapter 2, look with me in, we'll just start in verse 6. Colossians 2, verse 6. He says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." And so he says, as ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Well, how do you receive the Lord? You receive Him by faith. So walk ye in Him by faith. Walk by faith in Him. And he says in verse 7, being rooted and built up in Him. Now, you know there's some illustrations in your Bible that Paul writes about concerning the Christian. For instance, we're soldiers. We're in an army. We're in a fight. We're in a war. Also, he talks about running a race. We all run the race to obtain the prize, he talks about, to get that crown. Also, he talks about planting, plants, things of that nature. And that's where verse 7 is really addressed, being rooted and built up in Him. How does that apply? Well, when you get saved, it's likened unto a seed that's planted into the ground. And as that seed begins to grow, the root system goes down into the earth while the stem of the trunk, whatever the plant is, goes up. And so it begins to build. And what Paul is saying, that you be rooted. In other words, a seed draws off the nutrition of the ground so that it can grow. If there's no nutrition in the ground, what happens to the seed? It dies off. If there's little nutrition, it will just grow to a certain extent and become very weakly. Real weak, notwithstanding any elements out there. It's no wonder that Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he told them, that you be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Don't be children. In other words, grow up in Christ Jesus. Be strong in Christ Jesus. As you have therefore received Him, so walk ye in Him. In other words, you've got to have a good root system to start off with so that you don't get blown over by the winds of doctrine. And people that do not get grounded in the truth of the Word of God, they're just like that. You take a tree that has a bad root system, when the winds come, what's going to happen? It's going to topple over. If it doesn't have good nutrients in the ground, when the wind comes, the trunk is weak, it doesn't have the nutrition that it needs, and the winds will snap the trunk. He says that you be rooted and built up in Him. And folks, that's why we glory in the fact that we have the Word of God. That is our nutrients for our root system. That's how we grow strong in the Lord. And the power of His might is by this Word, folks. This is our source of energy and our power that we can grow strong in the Lord. As you therefore received Him, so walk ye in Him. Well, it's all based upon the Word of God. So faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So we grow by faith concerning the Word of God. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have the Sunday messages. That's why we have Bible studies out and about at different places. That's why we have the Wednesday night study. So you can get rooted and built up in Him. And you need to take that opportunity to attend one, if not all, the study classes and quit making excuses why you can't come. Don't make excuses why you cannot come. See, folks, what it takes to be rooted and built up in Him is commitment. It takes dedication, a willingness, and a desire. If you miss on any of those, then you're not going to be rooted and built up in Him. And anything that comes along will distract you and take you away from the course that God has set you on. You know, sometimes we think our life is lived unto ourselves, that we make the determinations on what we should do. Well, if we just sat down, prayed and meditated about the Lord for a few minutes, we'd come to the realization that God has a racetrack, a course that we need to be on in our lives. And that being on that race course or that course, we need to run the race. We need, once again, the illustration, rooted, built up, strong in the Lord. And folks, when you do that and make a commitment to that, there's going to come some heartache with it. There's going to come some heartache. There's going to come some trials. There's going to come some tests. You're going to be challenged. You're going to be pushed. You're going to be pressured. There's no doubt about it. If you have the willingness, the desire, the commitment to do those things that you need to do for the Lord's sake, to be rooted and built up in Him, you're going to be challenged. The simple illustration is what I gave earlier. The plants, just nature tells you the challenges that are out there. The trees out there, they put up with storms, lightning strikes, bugs that get into their system. It's all detrimental to their growth. Well, folks, you don't have to change anything when you segue over to a Christian's life. You've got to put up with the winds of doctrine. You've got to put up with the wiles of the devil. So if you have the desire to grow and be built up in Him, expect disappointments. Expect it. That's why Paul says that you be built up, rooted and built up in Him, and do it with thanksgiving. See, it's not easy to give thanks when things go bad. It's easy to give thanks when everything is going well. You get a raise. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I have a praise this morning. I got a raise. I've never heard anybody come in here and go, I got a praise this morning. What is that? I got laid off. No. I got a praise. What's that? Oh, me and the kids, we're so at odds, there's no stability in the household. You see, you can give thanks when things go your way. But if you're going to be rooted and built up in Him, the challenges are going to come. That's why Paul says, being rooted and built up in Him, with thanksgiving. Thank the Lord in spite of it. Thank the Lord in spite of what goes on. Abounding with thanksgiving. It's interesting to know to use that word abounding. That's likened to something you guys will note Thursday. It's like having a meal, eating, and then having leftovers. No, really. Abounding is something where there's something left over. It's overflowing. Abounding with thanksgiving. Abounding with thanksgiving. But so often we make excuses as to why we don't do something. Why we're not doing something. Oh, I'm not going to do that anymore. Why not? Because someone didn't thank me. Oh, I'm not going to do that anymore. Why not? Because someone wouldn't help me. Oh, I'm not going to do that anymore because it's too hard. It takes up too much of my time. You know, when I was in school, particularly in elementary, but as I got older, it seemed like these things kind of diminished. And I don't know because we don't have kids in school anymore. I don't know where it's at today. But when I was in school, if you missed school, you had to have a written excuse as to why you were not in school. It had to be valid. If you go back to school without one, do you know what it's called? Unexcused absence. Sometimes we have valid excuses as to why we can't do something. Some of you work an 8-to-5. I can't expect you to walk out of your office and come up here 8-to-5 to do something. But some of us have unexcused absences. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You may have the excuse. I mean, think about this. This wouldn't really be allowed by my mom or dad. School time. I was up late the night before. Time to go to school. I said, too early. I'm not getting up. I'm going to sleep in and miss school. That's an excuse, isn't it? Make an excuse why I didn't get up and go to school. I'm tired. But it's not a valid excuse. See, we all have excuses. Everybody in here. I could have a list put on this board of things that need to be done at this church. And everybody in here, including me, could make an excuse for everything there. But I wonder how many of them would really be valid. You see, that is part of being rooted and built up in Him. Being part of a study class. I mean, that's why I was thankful Wednesday night. And, you know, I don't know, you guys that are on Facebook, they started the 1st of November, and I hadn't been committed to every day, just things that I'm booked up with. But they started 1st of November to give every day a day that you're thankful for. The first day that I did this, it was like I didn't know about it till like the 2nd or 3rd of November. And then I see it. So the first one I posted on there was this. And it kind of, you got to think about it a second. I said, I am thankful that I am thankful. Just think about it a minute. I am thankful that I am thankful. You see, you have people who have incurred negative situations in a church and have a bitterness where they're not thankful. And I am thankful that all that I've been through, that I still have the spirit of being thankful to the Lord for the things He does. I was thankful for Wednesday night. People say, well, you got that number of people. We had about 30 people. Y'all know that? Well, you got that because you had food. I'm thankful. I'm thankful we had the spirit of people bringing food. I'm thankful we had the people that got off work and came out here and brought food. I'm thankful for the study. I'm thankful for this church. We got people at this church who walk in and don't even consider this thing and the hard work and labor it took from getting the land to the first building, to this building, and where we are today. They don't even consider it. They walk in like this is an Egyptian place, like the Egyptians 7,000 years ago built it. No. No, it's a lot of work put in by a lot of folks. Not thankful. Not thankful for the classes that we have. They're there. Do you have a valid excuse why you don't come? Or is it unexcused absence? I'm thankful that I am thankful. Can you say that? Or has resentment, bitterness, anger taken you over? You say, well, that isn't possible, Mark. It's got to be possible. If thanksgiving was something natural, then Paul wouldn't have to tell you abounding therein with thanksgiving. He wouldn't have to tell you to have thanks for what you have. There are those that don't have thanks for not just the physicalness of this church, but the spirit of this church in this sense. The gospel gets preached in truth. The word of God gets preached rightly divided, hence in truth. And thirdly, the word of God is in a King James Bible, and we have not nor will not deter from it. There aren't many churches out there, folks, that use King James Bibles. And then if you find one, they don't handle it properly. Have you thanked the Lord for that? Sometimes you don't know what you have right here. Right under your nose, as they say. We should be giving thanks every day, all the time. Not just a special week because our country's going to celebrate Thanksgiving. Yeah, we celebrate with them. Every day should be a day of Thanksgiving. When we get up in the morning, the first thing coming out of our mouth should be a thanksgiving to God for what we have. But it's not. Many times we gripe and we complain before we can even let our feet hit the floor off the bed. I understand that. I'm not saying you can never do it. But do we give thanks? Just by nature. Moses complained, smote the rock rather than spoke to the rock. I mean, I could go right down the line of spiritually sound men in this Bible that wasn't giving thanks, but complaining. Job said, I wish I was never born. And yet God was allowing what took place to Job so he could write it down in his book to show the multitudes of generations of people the faith of Job. And Job is saying, I wish I would never born. I hate the day that I was born. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Turn, if you will, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to have to hurry up here In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look in verse 6. He says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Well, that's a give and take there, isn't it? "Every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." In other words, you examine what you got in Jesus Christ, and you give with cheerfulness, and if you give bountifully, you'll receive bountifully. So if you go on down, look in verse 11. "Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God." See, Paul gave bountifully. So what did he reap? He reaped bountifully. Therefore, he was enriched by God Almighty in this life. It wasn't wealth of the world. It wasn't jewels. It wasn't clothing. It wasn't a mansion. It was the riches that are in Christ Jesus and the blessings that God provided for him. And he gave bountifully. And God rewarded him with that. And he says, "That has caused us to give thanksgiving to God." Thanksgiving to God. You know, sometimes we think we can just sit there and we're like, "All right, God, what you gonna do for me?" Like when you get to the end of the exit at an interstate, no job, need money, need food. I mean, we're a little bit like that sometimes with the Lord. "Lord, what are you gonna give me?" And the Lord has said, 2 Corinthians 9, "I'll give you what you put in. You want to sow bountifully? I'll give unto you bountifully. But you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly." Elementary accounting, isn't it? Very elementary. So Paul says, what he has bountifully enriched us with has caused us to give thanksgiving to God. So what price do you put on your salvation? What price do you put on that? Any financial numbers come to mind? No. We have the riches of God through Jesus Christ. That in of itself should cause us to give thanksgiving to God all the time. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Close with these couple of, I got this and another passage. In Romans 12, he says, verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Once again, verse 1, let's revisit that. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." You know why he wants a living sacrifice? Because in the Old Testament, they had dead sacrifices. All right? I mean, they were given up in sacrifice. They were killed. Well, he wants us to be alive as a sacrifice to him. "Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Reasonable service. So we serve the Lord. You see, folks, a living sacrifice, and you present yourself as a living sacrifice, is an end result of the thanksgiving you have to God. You can't present, and you won't present yourself a living sacrifice if anger and bitterness is welled up within you. You think you're going to be promoted to present yourself a living sacrifice in that mentality? No, not at all. It's those that are rooted and built up. They know what they have in Christ. And by knowing what you have in Christ, it promotes you to be a living sacrifice because of the thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Sometimes we are like, well, look at what you did to me rather than what you've done for me. A living sacrifice. Did you know that everything you say and everything you do reflects or reveals the inward thanksgiving that you have based on what God did for you? Everything you say and things you do reflects that inward thanksgiving that you have to the Lord for what He's done for you. Think about that. Think about the word you speak. Think about when you have the opportunity to, in front of lost people, thank God for something. You're sitting there at a table, y'all having dinner, conversation comes up about whatever, and you had the opportunity to go, "Well, you know what? I just thank God that this happened," particularly when it stumps them. "I thank God that such and such happened." Why do you thank God for that? Because everything works to His glory. Not, "I can't believe that happened. How disgusting is that? I'm so angry about that." We're the type that we could be at a dinner table with some folks. We look down the table and someone ordered a filet mignon. And you're sitting here eating, looking down there going, "Can you believe them? What's that?" "Well, we're here. They They ordered a filet mignon just to show off. I can't believe it. And you stuff in your face with stuffed fried shrimp and a stuffed baked potato and a salad you just had. And I'm just showing off eating a filet mignon. Rather than paying attention to what you have and being thankful for what you have. But that's how we are. We have it right there and we're looking around all bitter about everything around us rather than concentrating and seeing what you have in Christ. A living sacrifice is an end result of the thanksgiving that you have. You understand? There was a thing, and we're not turning to it, but in Leviticus 7, you can make note of it. There was a sacrifice, an offering, called an offering of thanksgiving. Oh, yeah. They had the opportunity to take that thanksgiving that's inside that you can't see and show it outwardly. It's one thing to have the spirit of thanksgiving. It's another thing to show it outwardly. Let people see the thanksgiving you have to your God for what He did for you. Because folks, if we didn't have salvation, we got something to gripe about. If we didn't have salvation, we could fit into Psalms chapter 1 or Psalm 1. Why do the heathen rage? Because we have no hope. That's why they're raging back there. But we have hope. We have hope. Everything you see right here, right now is so temporal, folks, like this is how our lives are going to pass through this world. Mark, I hear you say that week after week. Well, I guarantee you, when you step off into eternity, you're going to go, Mark, it was right. I died at 80 years old, but it was just like that. So we carry this hope, and we should give thanks for it. Are you thankful for it? Maybe there's someone here that doesn't have the hope. Maybe you're just outside not understanding how you can thank God and go through the trials and troubles of this world. Well, I can tell you how. Because while we're here in this world, we have a hope out of this world. While we suffer down here, it's not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. We got a glory waiting. How's that? By faith in Jesus Christ. The one that gave God all the thanks when He had nothing. The one that gave God all the thanks when He was beaten. The one that gave God the thanks for the opportunity to go to the cross. We have hope in and through Him because He died for our sins. He was buried and raised again the third day, giving us the promise of the eternal life that He got by God the Father raising Him up. And so we give thanks for that. Do you have that salvation? Have you put your trust in Jesus Christ? Not known about Him. Another month from now, we're going to all know about Him. People know about Jesus Christ. Have you trusted in Him? If not, do so right here, right now. Don't let this day go by, because there is no guarantee for you to live till tomorrow. No guarantee. You know, our biggest challenge in this world is really the religious system. That's our challenge. I've been preaching on that week in and week out. Every Sunday, the devil works in that system, and he convinces people that you better live it to get it. And just in closing, I want to cover something I did Tuesday night at study. There's something in everybody. From birth to the day you die, that's called sin. You're not going to repent it out of you. You're not going to confess it out of you. And you're not going to turn over a new leaf and get rid of it. It's in you to the day you die. If man had the ability to go in each human being and operate like you do with an appendix, go in there and cut into the body, and take that sin out, discard it, sew you up, and now you don't have sin, listen to me. If that were possible, man would not do it. If it delivered you from sin, and man could do it, man wouldn't do it. Why? He's that evil. So how can you say that? How do you draw that conclusion? Because God already removed the consequence of that sin, nullified it in our lives through the operation of the faith of the Son of God. It's already been done, and man won't preach it. You understand? Man hides that truth. So if he's going to hide that truth to deliver a soul, you think he's going to operate and remove it? No way. No way. The only way you can overcome the sin in you that'll never leave is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have victory through Him. There's no reason for anybody not to put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. there isn't anybody that should walk out of this building lost. It's unexcusable. Trust in the Lord, believe in He died for your sins, was buried and raised again the third day, and you'll have eternal life. Well, you guys have a good Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll stand and close in prayer. Safe trip. Lord, we thank You for this day. We glory in the cross of Christ, our Redeemer, our Savior, to give us this hope of eternal life.